Hi, I'm recording this now. It's recording for the people.
You should challenge them to a game of darts for that room.
It's okay. Well, hopefully we'll be moving to a space that has an actual studio soon. So
oh, that'd be nice. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a dartboard.
Do y'all have other things, like other recording things that you want to do, I would expect?
Not really.
No? Well, because you don't have a good studio, that's why.
Once okay.
Then you will. Yeah, y'all, there was a rooster on Current Geek on Friday. You got to check out the episode. It was pretty awesome.
What do you mean?
One of our guests in Seattle lives out a little ways outside of town and has a rooster. And so you could hear the rooster in the background.
Oh, funny.
Making comments about the show.
The top news are not doled out to us yet.
Oh, well, I can fix that. That's why I'm here. Doled. As you might have expected.
What?
They are doled out in the manner that you probably could have guessed, but they are now officially doled.
Gotcha.
Oh, and I've got all the ransomware stuff together in one segment that I will read, but we can break it up with commentary throughout because there's so much. It's not enough new information to have a whole discussion section because we had the big discussion on Friday, but there is a lot to cover, just updates and stuff.
Yeah. I read this blog post from this malware tech guy.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I love that post. That's really interesting.
You should have had someone copy edit, maybe. But checking your browser before accessing malwaretech.com. Amazing. I wish I understood more stuff about this, but I don't.
Well, I don't know how much more I know, but feel free to ask the questions. And if I don't know the answer, we can kind of throw it out to folks in the audience.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone is feeling that way today.
Must be the weather.
Maybe.
Is it overcasty by you running?
No, it's beautiful today, actually.
Oh, really?
Sunny.
Yeah.
Never I got some bad news today, though.
Oh.
Did I tell you about my shoulder hurting?
No.
Did I mention that to you now? So for like this past 6 months, like my shoulder's been really bothering me.
Okay.
And when I started working out more and weightlifting, it got worse and worse. And so I finally went to the physical therapist and he ordered me to get an MRI, which I did on Friday and got the results back today. And I tore my rotator cuff.
Wow.
You just are such a Giants fan that you wanted to get a baseball injury.
I know. It's also a tennis injury.
and you do play tennis, or you did?
I used to. I haven't played since I broke my wrist and ankle.
Oh, man.
It was from
never
back.
Never do the same thing twice. I'll give you that. It's always something new with you.
Well, so my shoulder used to bother me when I played tennis. Mm-hmm. So what I'm thinking is what happened is I probably hurt it and then didn't do anything about it and kept doing stuff on it and left it alone and just kept messing with it. And then when I started back with the weightlifting again, it was like, hey, girl, no. I'm out.
Yeah. It was probably a slight tear or abrasion and then it just kept ripping.
It's not torn all the way. It's just they might be able to fix it with shots.
Oh, okay.
I just have to leave it. I just can't
like
mess with it.
Tequila shots?
Shots.
Just do a couple tequila shots every morning. You won't feel it at all.
You won't care anymore.
No more bench pressing for a while.
No more bench pressing for a while. I actually really hurt it this weekend bench pressing again.
Yeah. How much are you trying to lift?
How much can you lift, bro?
I can only lift the bar.
Right now. Oh, 45 pounds? Yeah. Is that still 45 pounds?
Uh-huh.
Do you even lift?
Yeah.
I stopped lifting after high school.
Yeah.
I have my doctor thinks is bursitis in my hip. And so she prescribed me that prescription level ibuprofen for a couple of weeks. And it's definitely helped, but it hasn't entirely gone away. And so she said, if that doesn't work, we'll give you an injection, like you said, give me a shot for it. So I'm curious if she's going to want to do that or if she's just going to say, keep taking the ibuprofen for a little longer.
Now you know we've all reached a certain age. And all we do is talk about our injuries.
And my shoulder hurts a little too when I do this. Don't do that.
Stop doing that. Just don't do that. Stop doing that.
Then don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if the shots don't do anything, then surgery it is.
No.
Then I'll be real messed up for a while.
Right, then you'll be on the DL.
Yeah.
You know, you might be out for the season. You might miss the playoffs.
Definitely going to be out for the All-Star break.
Right.
This is too bad.
Are you going to get Tommy John surgery?
Yes. Hey, we won three in a row.
Hey.
Giants have won three games in a row, which is the most games in a row we've won all season.
The Cardinals are only playing Veronica Belmont teams this week, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they're playing the Red Sox.
Are we playing
They're playing the Red Sox at the beginning of the week. And okay. Then, yeah, it's hosting the Giants at Busch Stadium this weekend.
Yeah, because we got the Dodgers in town for this week.
Oh, nice.
A few games.
No, friendly California games.
Mm-hmm. I hate the Dodgers. Sorry, we're still the worst team in baseball, so whatever.
Cardinals are in first place. I'm shocked.
Good for you.
They're not good enough to be in first place right now.
In baseball or in division?
In the division. Oh. Yeah, not in baseball. In the division with the World Series winning Cubs, who've already won this year's World Series as well.
Did they win?
Oh, yeah. You didn't know? They just gave it to them.
Oh. Did they win that series they played this week or last week?
Did they win it? I can't remember if they won it. I don't think they did. Well, they split it.
I think the Dodgers lost yesterday.
That's why. Sure. That's why I couldn't remember. Oh, no. The Cardinals won it. Never mind. 2 out of 3.
Oh, good. Good for you.
What am I thinking? So much going on.
Yeah, man.
Training a dog.
Saw that she had her first beach day.
Yeah. She was good. She was really excited to get to the water, and then when she heard the ocean, she was like, oh, what is that noise? And then she was just not quite sure about getting her paws wet.
Bodega's sick or something. I don't know what's going on. We took her to the beach on Saturday, and she played a lot of fetch.
Yeah.
Like, that evening, the next morning, she started, like, coughing and kind of hacking.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, she probably just swallowed a bunch of sand. Yeah. She was trying to get it out, but she never puked. And for the next 2 days, she's had this cough. It's like, ha, ha.
Is it like a kennel cough kind of cough?
It's more like a gag.
Like maybe she's got something stuck.
I tried to look down her throat and I couldn't see anything. But she's eating fine and wants to play and is like energy levels the same.
Yeah.
Poop is fine. So I don't know what's going on, but I'm getting nervous and I have to go out of town tomorrow. So. I'm just scared she has like something stuck in her throat.
Yeah.
But that'd be weird. How could she eat and drink?
Well, it could just, if it's just something small and lodged, it might not get in the way of everything else.
Yeah.
Or it could have been something that was in her throat and then kind of scraped the lining.
Yeah, I wonder. Maybe. So anyway.
Oh, dog problems.
That's going to be another $1,000 vet trip.
I know that feel.
Can't you just be human and tell me what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
And get a job.
Does it not work that way?
She still points at things she wants. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you want? She just points. It's like, cookie? Bread? You want to sit down? You want a tablet? I don't know. Say something.
Retirement program.
How come every other two-year-old can be using words in a functional fashion and you're still uttering gibberish?
Why can't you be like the other children?
Why can't you be like another? That's where the Chinese parenting starts. The comparisons, the endless comparisons. Look, that baby can walk on its hands. How can't you? Why can't you?
Oh, and someone's been trying to break into my Instagram account for the last 3 days.
Oh my God.
Ew.
I successfully changed my password at one point, which freaked me out.
That's annoying.
Or Instagram changed my password for them. I don't know.
Does Instagram support two-factor?
They do, but it's text, but I turned it on. I didn't have it on.
Mm-hmm.
But my email is pretty locked down. So I don't know if they, I think they probably got in through like a third part, like a token kind of thing.
Yeah. Weird.
So I deactivated all my, I changed the password. So that should have deactivated most things.
Yeah. Well, you can go in and clear out the associated apps and stuff too.
Yeah, no, you can't in Instagram. There's no place to do that.
They don't have
a connected things page? No, they don't.
Oh, that's just awful.
Oh, authorized apps. Yeah, I don't have anything.
Okay. They do have one. Good.
Yeah, they do have one. I'm sorry.
I was about to be very angry with Instagram for that.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing tied to it now is IFT.
Okay.
And, and that's new based on the new password.
Mm-hmm. Because the thing about tokens is even if you change your password, the tokens still work. That's the That's the advantage of them, is that they're already authorized. So, then you have to go in and just reject them.
Okay. Well, I have nothing else has access except IFT, and I just added that.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
All right. I'm going to start the videos. Let me give you control, Roger.
Control. All right. Hiding.
We still got a couple minutes.
Yeah. Okay, I won't hide.
It's up to you. Hide if you feel the need. Hide if you feel you should. Wow, Wired has a story about how LAX is pulling off its terminal reshuffle. Oh. Delta and 20 other airlines are swapping spots? What?
That's confusing.
Yeah. I mean, they already did a swap with Terminal 6.
Hmm.
Delta is leaving 5 and 6 for 2 and 3. Oh, 2 and 3 need a overhaul. LAX is spending $450 to transform itself. Spend billions to renovate Terminals 2. Yeah.
Hmm.
Gross.
I have to fly tomorrow.
United. Yeah, he has to fly tonight. I did not. Shane asked if I saw the story about the luxury terminal opening tomorrow at LAX. I did not.
Oh, is that for famous people?
Probably never be in it either. So
fancy.
All right. Nothing else breaking. Well, why call? Quantum computers might not break cryptography, so that's positive these days. Unless you're trying to unlock from WannaCry and you were hoping to use a quantum computer. I'm ready when you're ready.
All right.
Shall we?
Momento. Yes.
Un momento, por favor.
All right.
Veronica no es listo.
Soy listo.
Da. Da, I said. Da? Yes. Da. Хорошо. All right. Here we go. Daily Tech News Show is powered by you. If you want to find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support and become a producer of the show. This is the Daily Tech News for Monday, May 15th, 2017. I'm Tom Merritt, Veronica Belmont, alongside... Did you get ransomed? Did you have any ransomware effects this weekend, Veronica?
You know, I don't think so. I had other effects, but I don't think they were related to that.
Not related to WannaCry? Did you want to cry for other reasons? I hope not.
I did.
Aw, I'm sorry to hear that.
It all worked out.
Oh, well, good. So lots to talk about regarding the WannaCry ransomware, so we won't beat around the bush much here, but we are going to talk about it in top stories. Let's start with a few tech things you should know about. Lyft and Waymo announced an agreement to work on autonomous vehicle pilot projects and product development. That's Lyft, not Uber, and Waymo. Lyft is also partnering with General Motors.
The lines are being drawn, Tom.
Yeah, they are.
Google announced it is partnering with Audi and Volvo to ship cars with a new version of Android Embedded that can turn apps like Maps and Spotify, use Google's voice assistant, and control car functions like temperature, no Android phone necessary.
This is what I want.
Sorry, I meant to say run apps. It said ton apps, and I turned that into tune apps or turn apps.
Well, you can tune your car radio to the right apps.
Just as long as the apps can't turn your car.
Not yet. Not yet. It's not a self-driving car. No, I like this idea of just being able to have the apps on the car, you know, and sync with it. Mm-hmm. The way Android works, it'll sync all my apps over, I assume, if I log in. So that's kind of cool. Fraunhofer Institute is a patent holder for MP3 encoders, or at least it was. Fraunhofer announced it will end its licensing program for the audio format. Now, a lot of people are taking this to mean MP3 is dead. MP3 is not dead. Fraunhofer's MP3-related patents have expired, so it actually makes it easier to use MP3 for things now. For instance, Red Hat's going to start shipping it as part of its standard distribution and won't have to worry about paying a license fee.
I wonder if programs like Audacity will be able to support it natively instead of needing third-party things to hook into it.
I hope so.
That would be great. The Wall Street Journal reports that Nintendo will release a Legend of Zelda game for mobile sometime after Animal Crossing for mobile, which sources say will come out before the end of the year. So all of this is still a little nebulous.
But we are getting more mobile games. We already knew that. But it sounds like Animal Crossing followed by Zelda. So that's kind of cool.
I said years ago that Nintendo should be a mobile developer only.
Well, they still disagree with you, but they're getting closer.
Getting closer. I can feel it. It's going to happen.
All right, let's get to the other top stories. Over the weekend, security researcher MalwareTech was analyzing the WannaCry ransomware. You may have heard this story, but it's worth hearing again. He discovered in the malware a call to an unregistered domain name. And it's not like a domain name like ransomme.com. It's some long random string. So he registered it. This is a standard practice when analyzing malware. You register any domain names to track the malware as it's spread. You can get IP addresses, track regions, identify victims, and even reverse engineer the malware. When he activated the domain, it had the unexpected effect of shutting down the ransomware. And the best guess is that in certain sandbox environments, all domain queries will return an IP address belonging to the sandbox. That way you keep it from reaching out to the actual network. And MalwareTech speculates the unregistered domain was meant to signal that the malware was in a sandbox because it's an unregistered domain, so it shouldn't return an IP address. And if it did, then WannaCry would shut itself down to prevent it from being analyzed. But instead, in this case, it prevented it from propagating. Of course, new versions of the ransomware have since been released without this particular weakness, although one of them did have a different domain name that another researcher registered and got that one to shut down. Certainly, it slowed the spread and bought some companies some time. You can read MalwareTech's own account and all the details if you're interested at malwaretech.com. But a fascinating story.
Oh, it was absolutely astonishing. His blog post is certainly well worth the read. It's a little long, but I think it clears up a lot of the confusion about how this happened. And what I also found fascinating was that originally when he did register the domain, he and another researcher were under the impression that they had actually encrypted all of the data that WannaCry had already captured. And so they're like, shoot, now all this data is encrypted and we don't know how to unlock it. But it turned out that it didn't do that. It was just some kind of signifier. That's probably what would have happened had it been working properly. At the end of the day, they did save a good amount of time and effort for a lot of companies. I think it was like 150,000 like machines had been hit at that point.
More than that. Yeah. In fact, we'll catch you up on all the things that have happened since we talked about it on Friday. Microsoft issued security patches for out-of-service versions of Windows. Remember, it had already been patched for currently supported versions of Windows, and machines were getting hit because they hadn't properly kept up on the patches. But Windows XP, which made up, I think, 4%, 4% to 5% of the National Health Service machines out there, so a small amount, but still enough to cause a problem. Windows XP, Windows 8, Windows Server 2003, they aren't supported anymore by Microsoft. But Microsoft went ahead and issued security patches. The spread seems to have slowed significantly. A Twitter account called Actual Ransom has been tracking the Bitcoin wallets associated with the ransomware.
That was in the scene today.
Yeah, I saw that's where I got that from. They racked up so far less than 60,000 in payments, at least at last total count. $60,000 in payments is not a lot. A lot of these less prominent ransomware will rack up millions of dollars. So this one is not successful on the money side. Microsoft President and Chief Legal Officer Brad Smith wrote in a blog post that governments have to consider the damage to civilians that comes from hoarding vulnerabilities and the use of these exploits. He's touched off that controversy again. And as you said, more than 200,000 machines affected, more than 150 countries. And the Financial Times even out there reporting that security researchers have found another NSA tool called a Steam Audit is available for sale in certain darknet locations. A Steam Audit also exploits network communications the way that Eternal Blue did. That's the one that turned into WannaCry. So they're trying to weaponize another one of these NSA tools out there.
It's kind of infuriating, isn't it?
Yeah, and it really does show the importance of keeping up on patches. It shows that if your IT department delays, that it is going to cause problems. It may not cause problems every day, but eventually that's why a lot of these problems were caused, is that they were using out of date. They hadn't got around to, you know, upgrading software. National Health Service in the UK even paid for extended service for Windows XP, but they just didn't get all the machines updated in time at the end of the service agreement. So it's there's a really good article in Fortune about the problem of procrastination. So yeah. When the Patch Tuesday comes and you're like, oh, right, I need to do that tomorrow. It makes perfect sense because the likelihood of an exploit happening between Tuesday and Wednesday is very low. It's a rational decision. And then it's a rational decision to go Wednesday to Thursday. And then it's a rational decision to go Thursday to Friday. But eventually the accumulation is no longer rational and you end up in these situations.
And then your data is encrypted. Sorry.
Yeah. So
stay updated, folks.
Yeah, stay updated. It's expensive, but it's like insurance. It's worth it in the long run.
KGI securities analyst Min-Chi Kuo believes Apple may introduce a new 10.5-inch iPad with slim bezels at its WWDC developer conference on June 5th. Kuo has also reported that a Siri speaker could be in the works. Apple said it will talk about iOS and macOS and will likely touch on watchOS and tvOS as well. Apple may discuss improvements to Apple Music as well as original video content coming to the service.
So I like this idea of a 10.5-inch iPad that is exactly the same size as the current 9.7-inch iPad because the bezels are slim enough. If I get a bigger screen in the same size, it still fits in my prompter case. It still fits in all my cases, right? Uh-huh. Any cases you have for it, it fits just fine.
Yeah, that would be nice. I mean, I'm still not an iPad user, but I see the appeal.
Yeah. What about a Siri speaker? Like if they said, this is our new HomeKit thing, you're going to be able to run your entire home off of this Siri speaker hub.
I'm good.
No, you're good. Are you Echo or Google Home?
I'm more Echo with a touch of Google Home.
You've got a splash of Google Home in your home?
A little dash of Google Home up in there. All right. Yeah.
Judge William Alsup granted Waymo's request for a preliminary injunction. Alsup ruled that former Google employee Anthony Lewandowski may not work on any projects at Uber that involve LiDAR, though Uber may continue its development of the technology. This actually doesn't change anything. Uber gets to keep developing its LiDAR. Lewandowski had already been voluntarily removed from LiDAR projects by Uber. Judge Alsup urged Uber to, quote, do whatever it can to ensure that its employees return the 14,000 plus pilfered files to their rightful owner. A lot of weird things about that. How do you return copied files? but also, if they return them, then that's an admission of guilt, and Lewandowski has pled the fifth. So it puts Uber in the position possibly of having to fire Lewandowski, because if he protects his Fifth Amendment rights, he won't be able to comply with Uber's request to return the files.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah. Alsup also called Waymo's claim of patent infringement meritless. He said, "You're trying to claim that you own all of light emitting devices." He's like, "It's just too broad." And in addition to this ongoing civil case, don't forget Waymo filed an arbitration proceeding against Lewandowski himself, and Judge Alsup referred the case to the U.S. attorney for a possible criminal investigation. So this is still just getting started.
I'm gonna switch my microphone. So tell me. worse.
Oh, no, you sound better. You just need to turn up your volume, but yes.
How's that?
That's much better. Yeah, just turn up
your
volume.
Turn up the gain. This is how the sausage gets made,
there
everybody.
We go.
How's
we
that?
Had a little in-stream change.
Yeah, this is pretty intense. And I think you're right. I think it's going to be very difficult for them to comply without him having to either just talk or continue to protect his rights. But I have heard that it's going to be difficult for them to kind of, not difficult to move forward, but he is a major component. I mean, obviously a huge component of that team. And it's going to be, that's tough to lose a key member, especially even though he has already kind of recused himself from the team in a way. To be forced not to work with it will be tough.
Well, he was running the department. He's no longer running the department. He's running everything in the department but LIDAR and reporting to the guy who's running LIDAR. So it's already the janky situation. You got to think that Uber at this point would like to just get rid of the guy, but then he's the auto co-founder and he's in there because he has knowledge and they don't want to lose that knowledge and his ability to help in other areas. It is a mess.
And if he's in California, there's no non-compete. So technically, I don't know what the kind of situation would be if he could go to a competitor immediately or if he'd have to cool his heels for a little while.
And he's the kind of guy that might take 14,000 miles with him. You just don't know.
No, I don't know. It's a very crazy situation.
At this point, Uber's option is to finish litigating this case and hope that they get a decision that says no wrongdoing. That is really the only thing that they can hope for.
The best possible outcome.
Yeah.
Netflix has implemented Google's Widevine DRM scheme, which means the Netflix app from the Google Play Store no longer will work on rooted Android phones. Android police has verified that Netflix still runs properly if you manage to sideload the APK.
A lot of people getting upset at Netflix for this. It could be done on purpose by Netflix to subvert rooted phones. My guess is it's not. My guess is they are using the Android Pay service to handle the Widevine DRM that Google does. And a side effect of that they probably didn't plan for, but also don't care about, is that rooted phones won't play Netflix. It'd be interesting to see if Netflix came up with some other option for people who do rooted phones. There's nothing illegal about rooting your phone. Sometimes people do it just to, do something with the bootloader. And that itself is going to cause problems with this. But if you're technically savvy enough to root your phone, you're probably technically savvy enough to sideload the APK, which does work, apparently.
Yeah.
So it's annoying, is really the upshot of this. XDADevelopers.com reports on a new feature in Android O, the forthcoming version of Android, that allows applications to handle authentication by text. So currently, apps can ask for permission to read your texts. If you're like, I don't want to have to type in the numbers myself, you can say, certain apps will say, hey, just let me read your text and we'll just read the SMS when it comes in. Mm-hmm. However, that means you're giving them access to all of your text messages, which is not a good idea. You shouldn't give any app unlimited permissions that it doesn't need. So the new API in Android O allows apps to create a specific one-time 11-character long token. When Android sees this token in an SMS, it routes the token to the app. So the app never has to see any of your text messages. You don't have to see the verification code text message. It's handled by Android. And you don't have it cluttering up your inbox. So you get that factor of authentication, which we know. We've talked about that there's problems with using SMS as verification. But in lower risk cases, this is a nice little elegant way to handle this without giving an app too many permissions.
Do you think that this would suffer from the same issues that two-factor via SMS suffers from?
Yeah, I mean, it would make it a little more difficult because if someone's trying to impersonate you and intercept your text messages, which we know is possible, then they wouldn't be able to use this to log in on the web, right? Because Android is just going to take that token and put it in the app. They would have to install the app and do it that way. Not that they couldn't, but it's another barrier. It's a lot of things that they have to do. They have to actually take advantage of the exploit. They have to pay the $1,000. They have to get on the network, all of that. A better solution would be to have the mobile carriers like reform how text messaging works so it can't be so easily spoofed.
Yeah, that freaks me out.
But yeah, this is pretty nice because that token authentication works seamlessly in Android O. So a nice little feature coming. And Google I.O. coming later this week. I'm sure we'll hear more about this kind of thing. Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, there's an app out there called Anchor, anchor.fm, where you can listen to the daily tech headlines and even skip through stories that you're either not interested in or already heard about. You have control over the headlines. Go check it out. Look up Anchor in your app store, install it, and listen to it. There's tons of good folks on there. Annie Gauss does some stuff on there, all kinds of people. So check out daily tech headlines there. Of course, you can also get it on the Amazon Echo as a flash briefing and as a podcast at dailytechheadlines.com. All right, real quick, something caught my eye in the BotZine today as well was the out of Microsoft Build last week, Veronica. It turns out bots can join video calls on Skype now.
Yes, this is pretty fun. And I think it has a lot of really interesting potential use cases. They opened up, it's a bot builder - real-time media calling extension. And it's on GitHub right now, so you can start playing around with it a bit if you'd like. But I think some of the interesting things that this could do is you could have like a true virtual assistant like sitting in on your calls. I really love the idea that a bot could be taking notes on a call somehow, because that for me is like the most annoying and difficult part of being on calls, is multitasking and trying to take competent notes while also listening and asking relevant questions when I'm doing work calls, for example. So being able to have a bot that's transcribing and maybe even pulling out the high level information for what the topic is we're talking about, I think would be super valuable. Or I could potentially set like specific keywords around things that I want it to highlight. So I could say like note, and it would hear that and then transcribe that particular next minute or so.
Now, it's a video call, so you're talking about some kind of animated avatar that you're seeing. There's really no need to have that video for the bot itself, right? But I guess it would be nice if it could play videos for you, which would be interesting.
What I think is good about having a visual representation is that it does kind of alert the other participants that there is another entity listening into the call. And I think, you know, we were talking about this over on Bot Makers earlier today, how increasingly people are, it's like people expect bots to be able to know and do everything, and they don't really understand their limitations. And sometimes they get bots confused with people. Like, for example, we use Intercom in our company, and whenever a new user comes to our website, my picture pops up and is like, hey, can I help answer any questions about what we do? And people constantly think that I'm a bot, that I'm not a person. And it's partially true, because technically that first interaction is, you know, just triggered by their presence. I'm not there typing, like waiting, sitting around waiting for someone to show up on the website. But it does do a handoff to me after the fact. So I think it's good to have a bot avatar of sorts, like in on these video calls, to kind of make people feel more comfortable and know that there is not just one person. There's also, you know, an artificially intelligent driven avatar hanging out on the call as well.
And there's certain conversational situations that probably benefit from having a cartoonish person to look at and react to. One of the things that was mentioned in this VentureBeat article was the idea of doing a pre-interview where you have some AI doing sentiment and mood tracking to kind of weed out job applicants.
Yeah, I'm really curious how that would work.
Yeah.
Would they be tracking like how the person is feeling about the questions? Is that really enough to kick an applicant out of the running?
I mean, like, if you weed people out for typos, well, you know, why not? If they get angry on your Skype call, they're weeded out.
Maybe they're angry because they have a bot interviewing them and
right,
not a human
instead
being
of an actual person. Well, that's what I thought. Like, is their mood going to be the same if they know they're talking to a bot instead of an actual person? So
yeah. What would you want to use it for?
I guess I could do interviews with with people, you know, interviews that I don't have time for. I could just have the bot do them.
Yeah. You don't really need a video person for that, a video avatar, but that would be a potentially interesting use case as well.
Well, yeah, but you know, for a video podcast, then you could have the special bot host.
I would have a bot in for our Sword and Laser interviews that would just correct me on my pronunciation of things.
Actually, Veronica, that's pronounced X.
Pronunciation bot, yeah.
Yeah. Well, but other bot news out of Build, Microsoft Bot Framework channels are going to publish publish a bot we're extended to Skype for Business, Cortana, and Bing. So I guess it's easier to find bots now on Bing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's that. It's really cool. Actually, you can get like they didn't really like do a huge announcement about this. It just kind of bubbled up to the surface. But yeah, bots and other integrations, connectors, things that you can use on Microsoft Teams or on Skype, those are all searchable now in Bing, and they come up in a really nice way. And I think that's kind of cool. And something that I do really like appreciate about Microsoft Teams is that they have an in-platform search tool. So with Slack, you have to go to the Slack App Store that's on the website. In Teams, you just search for apps from within the platform itself. So you don't have to actually leave and go do that. I think that's a nice, I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of that kind of stuff in the future.
All right. Thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. It helps us figure out good ideas of things to talk about. So keep them coming at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. Bunch of messages today. I might need your help reading some of these, Veronica.
Sure.
Ben Delano from The Rain Is Almost Gone, Seattle. Although my wife's flying there tonight. She said the rain's coming back. Sorry, Ben. Said, I may be connecting too many dots here, but I saw something that made me think. I saw a vehicle, transport truck, traveling on the 405 today, heading towards Redmond, Washington, that had badging from Romulus, Michigan, and Pilot Transport on the side of the trailer. Of course, Redmond is where Microsoft is, right? With the Microsoft Summit this week, it made me wonder if Ford might have sent something up to unveil. It might be nothing or something we've already seen, but I thought I'd pass it along. Intriguing.
Fascinating.
Thank you, Ben, for the On the Highway report.
I feel like, wouldn't that be fun if Ben broke some news?
Yeah,
or like
we'll see.
Broke a rumor.
Totally.
We have another message from Reynard Mayfield, who says, you mentioned Roku is falling behind. Roku has the Comcast Xfinity app. It does only work on the home Wi-Fi network. Many may ask, what is the benefit of this? Well, with the reality of having to rent your extra boxes from Comcast and Xfinity, I have the Roku as an extra box. Not having to rent extra boxes for extra TVs is great. No one has only one TV in their house. I think some people do. You can buy one Roku and move it around or multiples and not give your money to Comcast.
That's true. That's a thing that Roku can do. Chromecast, I think they support that as well. Also Android and iOS, so you could AirPlay. But yeah, Roku is probably the easiest box-like device to do that with. Got another email here from Jesse, aka Hometown Rival in Indianapolis. Said, greetings, Tom and gang. My Twitter feed was recently raving about a new game from the developers of the Carrot line of apps called Artificial Super Intelligence, or ASI. Willing to part with $3 to see what all the fuss was about, I bought the game, started my journey to create the world's first ASI, and I wasn't disappointed. Anyone who has used a Carrot app before will feel at home with the game's style and humor. While you progress, Carrot's intelligence level from super dumb to super smart, you'll have to make decisions that positively or negatively affect your staff, investors, the government, the press, the public. If you fill or deplete any of these bars, it's game over for that version of Earth. You read that right. In addition to building an ASI, you'll be doing so across an infinite number of parallel universes. One of the best aspects of this game is that it helps you learn about AI and how developing one works in reality.
Sounds like something out of Rick and Morty to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the idea of playing to build an ASI, though.
Yeah, that's pretty rad. Alternate universes. Ugh. Are you watching Rick and Morty? Are you caught up? No. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yes, I am. Nice. It's fantastic.
All right. The next one comes from Sunil, who says, the Boring Company is doing an amazing job trying to provide layers of lanes for mobility at high speeds. But if a person is going to get nauseous by just looking at a test run, traversing through the tunnels, I'm not sure what the person is going to feel like while actually traveling through one. I would not prefer a theme park ride before my appraisal meeting. I think he's saying I would prefer to not have a theme park ride before my appraisal meeting. Are there any plans of providing imagery / graffiti inside the tunnels? If so, providing images that look like you are standing still or traveling at 20 miles per hour when you're actually traveling at 150 miles per hour would that have any effect in reducing the nausea? If we can feel moving while being still in front of a laptop or phone, there must be a way to make us feel still while moving. As of now, Elon is boring through the SpaceX parking lot and does not have to deal with permits. But for how long will this project be within the premises? Even if the project is going on within SpaceX premises, won't the city have some objections if someone is digging too deep? What kind of regulations are in place for such a thing? Sorry to throw a bunch of questions just like that. I tried Googling, but did not get convincing answers.
Yeah, I don't know. I imagine he knows how deep he can go without causing structural instability to his own factory.
Yes.
And that's probably the best regulation against him doing something wrong that way. But eventually, yeah, he'll have to get permits from the city of Los Angeles. So I don't think there's a big chance of him causing too much of a problem boring tunnels underneath his own factory. But I am very curious myself about this idea that the video that they put out came with a warning that's saying this has flashing lights and may cause nausea in some people. It's a limited number of people. I don't know if a video that causes that would have the same effect in real life. I know that some people who can see things, who have problems with videos, don't have a problem if they're actually out in the world seeing similar effects. It's the video refresh rate that causes the issue, and the analog world effect doesn't have that. Same time, lots of people get car sick, right? So mm-hmm. People who get car sick are probably not going to want to be down in this tunnel.
I get car sick. So when I'm trying to read something, uh-huh. So I wonder if I'm not trying to read something, will it just feel like being in a regular car when I don't get, I don't know. A lot of questions.
Yeah. So no reading for you while you're traveling at 125 miles an hour through the tunnels of LA.
Maybe if it's completely smooth, I might not notice. I can read on the subway.
Well, yeah. And that's, you know what? I think that's a good analog for Sunil to think about. The subway has these same sorts of lights, and especially in countries like Japan, the same sorts of speeds. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can use that as an analog of does that kind of thing cause problems. And as to his suggestion of images, I've definitely seen on different metros where advertising is put up so that it animates once the train
strokes,
is up to speed.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's amazing. I saw a lot of that. I think I saw some of that on the magnetic trains in China, actually, and the high-speed trains there.
Yeah, it's like a little show for you right there on the walls of the subway.
That's right.
Well, that is it for this episode of the Daily Tech News Show. Thank you, Veronica Belmont, for joining us as always. What you got going on?
The usual, man. Sword and Laser, swordandlaser.com. We are going to be at BayCon not this coming weekend, the weekend after, Memorial Day weekend. And maybe we'll record something fun because you're going to be up in San Francisco staying with me.
Yeah, let's do that. Folks, if you're going to be in San Francisco or if you want to fly into San Francisco Airport, BayCon is right there at the Airport Marriott on Memorial Day weekend. And we will be there interviewing James S.A. Corey, Ty Frank and Daniel Abraham, the authors of The Expanse. So, yeah, come on down. Meet us.
Come check it out.
Go check it out. Look up BayCon, BAYCON. I will not promise there will be bacon, but I bet the Marriott could serve you some.
Yes.
Thanks to everybody who gives a little value back to this show for the value they get from it, including Gerald Cates, Jeff Haywood, Robin Seaver, and so many more. You guys are the best for making us happen. If you would like to join them, you can check out patreon.com/DTNS. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And we're at facebook.com/dailytechnewsshow. Our website is dailytechnewsshow.com. Back tomorrow with Patrick Beja. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Good show. Sorry, good I choked show. Up there at the end.
Yeah, what happened? Are you all right?
I just got a dry spot. Thankfully, I had a little water there, but yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, you pulled a bodega.
I thought you were tearing up because of something emotional.
Yes, I was just so emotional over those carrot apps. No, I wanted to talk about the artificial superintelligence, but I couldn't. Like, I was incapable of talking about it at that point.
Oh, perhaps other forces are at work.
And I was looking at the article while you were choking, so I was, like, asking you questions.
I know, you're asking me questions. I'm like, you're obviously not looking at the screen.
Sorry.
Top of the heap for titles, will the real slim bezel stand up? Want a Bitcoin, the problem with procrastination. WannaCry is not a master of its domain. Yo, return my copied files. What's the Uber under on Uber? get it over under.
The under Uber under. Yeah, no, I got it.
Uber over under.
Yeah.
Max Headroom bot now on Skype. Hashtag not a bot. Echo with a dash of Google Home.
I liked my title and it's not here.
Making the sausage.
No, well, it's what's the, so I was saying the Uber over under, but Shane said, what's the Uber under on Uber? I think, what's the Uber over under?
You said, what's the Uber over under?
Yeah.
Nice. Should we go with that?
If you, sure. It's not our main story though.
Oh, okay.
But what is our, what was?
Veronica not a bot.
It doesn't have to be the main story.
Yeah.
DTNS can be replaced by a well-scripted bot.
I'm still levelating, though. We can.
Accidental hero.
Take a few others around.
Rock is not a bot.
I think that one gets suggested every week now.
I know. Botmont, Veronica Botmont.
I see you. I get it. I see you. I see you. I see you. So you just want to do the Uber? What's the over under on Uber? Oh, what's the
Uber? What's the Uber over under is what I was thinking. I don't know. What else you guys like? Nothing.
Nothing. I don't have anything.
The problem with procrastination. That's pretty good too.
Wait, say that one again.
The problem with procrastination.
Problem with. I'll tell you the problem with procrastination later.
Insta classic.
We'll tell you the problem with. We'll get to the problem with procrastination next show. Okay, time for me to pick a title.
The problem with procrastination, I think, is good. Touches on stuff.
The problem with procrastination. Yeah? Going with that? Yeah. All right. Sure. Done.
Dunzo.
I'd still like honorable mention for the Uber over under.
Yeah. Had a good vibe with it. Good feel. Good mouth feel.
Good mouth feel. I like the texture. I think it needed more seasoning though.
More earthy.
It didn't have enough acid.
Mm-hmm. Too many tannins.
Too many tannins. Story of my life. I'd be tannin. Yeah, the WannaCry stuff, that is a wake-up call. And I think that probably fulfills somebody's prediction from our prediction show this year. I'm fairly certain it was either Len or Patrick, could be remembering that wrong, who said there will be a big security breach that will finally cause people to change behaviors.
Mm.
So we're halfway there with the big security
breach. It's a changing behavior.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. There is a problem.
Well, there's your problem. Well, one of the articles I read was blaming Microsoft in part by saying, you know, they created this system where they kept moving you off of Windows. And people were like, no, but I wrote software for Windows XP and it doesn't work with Windows 7 and I don't, or Windows Vista. And I don't want to spend the money to change the software. And that package software, people would like sell you software as if you were buying a thing that would last for a long time. And then it doesn't work on newer versions of Windows. I feel like Microsoft's trying to change that by making Windows 10 just an evolving operating system that continues to be updated, and that will push software makers into making sure their software stays up to date and working.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the kind of problem that's slowly being solved.
Yeah, at what point, I wonder if, yeah, I don't know, it's weird. No, I'm just thinking.
Well, because it's a fair point. I don't think it's necessarily malicious, but it's a fair point that when most operating systems were not networked, you could sell a piece of software as sort of a permanent object. Like, buy this software. Yeah. It'll always run on your Commodore 64 operating mm-hmm. system, right? It'll always run on your PC mm-hmm. DOS. And it was perfectly sensible to say, well, I'm not going to upgrade because I have this essential piece of software that runs on this. Why would I bother? But now that there's networked software, you can't get away with that. It's a different it's a different metaphor.
I'm wondering if this will just mean like there'll be kind of not disciplinary, but you know, basically, so the way OSs are written right now, they integrate directly with your hardware or whatever software application. What if you could sandbox everything?
Well, that's where like containers and virtual machines and virtual machines
specifically where you would have a virtual machine. So you could run two virtual machines, say like this is all your creative software, mm-hmm. this is all your internet stuff. And so
containers are great for that too, because then you don't even have to have the overhead of the entire OS.
Not Stallman. Who's the guy that went to I'm trying to remember his name. We had that on Techzilla, remember? Hacker guy. He couldn't touch a was
on Techzilla?
Yeah, he was dating Darcy Woods.
That you talk about Screensavers, not Techzilla.
No, Techzilla. We had him on. Oh, Kevin Mitnick. Yeah, we had him on. The last 4 year of Techzilla.
I see.
He said it's one reason why he used Google Docs.
He could
Docs
touch computers by that point, though.
Yeah. Yes, he could. So one reason why he used Google Docs for everything is that it effectively sandboxed his machine from whatever attachment. So you could open it like a Word document. He would open it up in Google Docs.
Right.
Not within an application running directly on his OS. So that's one way. I mean, you know, and the rest of it was, you know.
Well, I think that's the, you know, there's a lot of people who accuse Microsoft of wanting to make Windows software as a service because it's more lucrative for them. But there's also, it's easier to secure when you're providing it that way. I mean, I'm not saying what their motivations are when I say that, but I'm like, there's also a very good reason to do it.
SaaS is its own giant, complicated hill of stuff. SaaS.
I don't always want to say sassy.
This issue of sassy.
But all software has to be constantly evolved. Do you think we'll ever get to the point where we've figured out networking and processors to the point where you don't have to constantly change and update software?
No. Because
we'll never stabilize the system.
Well, as long as there are hardware improvements for anything that goes faster.
Well, there's the question, right? Do we get to the point where hardware improvements are no longer a thing?
I mean, that's like saying, is there anything in human society that doesn't require constant improvement or updating with time?
Yeah, well, yeah. So there's a lot of things in society that generally are considered, you know, pretty much in their current form, with maybe minor improvements, but you just can't really improve on it. It just works the way it works, and it works well that way. And I wonder if we ever get electronic hardware to that point.
No.
You know, like a garden hoe. A garden hoe is a garden hoe.
Don't call me a garden hoe.
A garden variety, not a garden variety.
A garden variety, you know. A garden hoe.
You know. Sorry. Or a trash can. We, you know, we changed the models, but generally, trash can, we've perfected it. It's a big enclosed area.
Well, it's because, well, no, it's
the alphabet. That's a good one, P squared. Yeah. It's pretty stable.
It's weird because I think with improvements in hardware, there's always going to be the desire to do more. Like, oh, this allows me to do yada yada in a more effective way. You're right. But our garbage cans haven't changed, but the way we collect garbage.
Sure. Definitely. But I, that's what I'm saying is hardware, not collect is the software, right? Hardware is the can. And there are certain forms that we get to where we're like, there's always the innovation curve, and then there's the stabilization curve where it's like,
well,
okay,
there's a point where it plateaus, but it's not permanent. For example, let's go back to your garbage can.
All right.
When I used to take out the trash back in middle school, it was the standard kind of iconic circular corrugated steel with the little round top.
Right.
The trash can I now have is a wheelie bin with a connected but flipper.
Maybe it's a trashy example then.
Oh.
But I think there are examples of things where it's like the wheel, you know, like the wheel's pretty good.
And they're trying to find ways, and it's interesting. You're right. The concept of the wheel has stayed.
There's a law of diminishing returns on certain things, though, where it's like, yeah, you can make incremental improvements, but essentially you've gotten the form in good working order. And I guess that's what I'm saying is like, how long before we get electronic hardware to that point where we're not making these vast improvements every few months that require software to be entirely rewritten to accommodate them? When do we get the part where like, oh yeah, we're still making minor improvements. Yeah, we've got a trash can with a lid on it now, but that doesn't mean we have to rip up all the software.
Well, that's the idea behind a hypervisor, right? Where you could run a low level software between your OS and the actual hardware, act as an intermediary.
That's the separate point, hypervisor. I'm saying like the hardware keeps changing, right? What if we get to the point like processors, right? It used to be like, oh well, now we have more megahertz and more megahertz, and we have to have more megahertz, and we've gotten to the point where like speed is just something that you tweak. You don't need to have more speed all the time.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because, and this is what I'm saying, as hardware makes more things possible, there's a desire to take use of that capacity, right? If all you wanted to do is word process.
But that's what I just said, is that at a certain point, processor speed got to the point where it wasn't worth it to add more speed because you couldn't take enough advantage of it. So at what point does all hardware hit that limit?
But that's what I'm saying. You're missing my point. When things got to that point, we're like, oh, we have all our processors are fast enough for what we want to do. We'll have new usage case scenarios, right? We'll want VR. We want.
I'm saying, keep going along that procedure. And it's like, oh, now GPUs are maxed out. Now cache is maxed out. Like, when do we get to the point where like this is the best way to run the computer?
It's because the underlying way the hardware would run would probably change significantly.
Will
right?
it though? Over- Will it? Yeah. Like throughout most of human history, things haven't changed as fast as they have changed with hardware, with computer hardware.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's going to change. You would need to.
You're saying it will always change. It will always change at a fast enough rate that you won't have to keep changing up software.
Yes.
I'm not saying so.
Fine. You live 1,000 years and you write me a report.
Well, and that is the problem. Is like I think it will be a while before we hit that point. But yeah, I mean, a car runs pretty much, you know, we had a pretty stable car situation for a long time.
We have a basic car design in the same way that we have a basic hardware. No, conceptually, but like the way it works, right? We've moved
but we
from.
Don't, we for a while it was like more powerful cars, and then we got to like, okay, well now we're tweaking the designs and
well,
this
no,
and that.
Now we're tweaking energy usage.
Hey guys, I gotta go.
Okay, sorry.
As entertaining as this was to listen to. guys, later.
All right, thanks, Veronica.
Yeah, I'm out next. I'm out.
Right? That's what I have on the calendar.
It is next week. 20, yes, yeah. I'll be in New York. Yeah, really. Okay. And then are we doing Memorial Day?
No.
We will not be doing a regular show. It'll be a headlines only show on Memorial Day.
Okay, sounds good. All right, okay. I'll see you guys in a little bit then.
Okay.
All right, bye.
See you, bacon.
Well, you'll see me before then because you're coming here on Memorial Day. Okay, bye.
Get a bacon it up.
Yeah.
She said that with a grin on her face.
Bacon.
Bacon. You know, I think I've lost a taste for bacon.
No, really?
No, I mean, like if it's given out like free, but I won't go out of my way to order it, even if it's super awesome. I don't know. I just, as I get older, it's, you know, your fat rolls begin to weigh down on you and you're very conscientious about how you eat.
I see. It's more of a health thing. You haven't changed. You haven't lost your taste for bacon. You've lost your motivation.
I find it too salty, honestly. And I'm not sure. And this is weird because supposedly, as you get older, you lose your sense of taste becomes a little less
Zoe Briggs Bacon is, by the way, like shocked that you just said
no
this.
Roger. No Roger to what? Just no Roger in general?
No, she's saying no Roger. No, oh. You can't have lost your taste for bacon.
I thought she was trying to get rid of me. Like, no Roger.
No.
No, come Roger.
Not,
like, okay.
That is not what she was saying. YouTube added AMC and BBC America. That's nice.
Wait, who YouTube did?
Yeah.
Oh wait, stars.
All right, well, we're going to be out of here too. Thanks again, everybody, for hanging out and enjoying the show. We will talk to you soon. Take care of yourselves out there.
Bye.
And don't forget, Roger and Tom are both right.